Okay, I think we should start. Old song. Ara George there. Yes, I think we should just go ahead and start. Thank you everybody for joining. Apologies, the connections and interconnectivity. It just kind of delayed us a bit, but yes, here we are. We are live on Twitter Spaces as well. And then live across the pages and accounts on Facebook. God bless you. Thank you very much. Who is there? Femi, are you in a quiet place to lead us in opening prayers? Femi, are you there? Okay. Please lead us in opening prayers. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. I hope we are audible everywhere on Twitter Spaces. Please let us know. Then on Facebook, please just show your comments. Thank you very much. I could see Abiola Samuel. Thank you on Facebook and other people. Please just let us know if we are audible enough. It's just a bit of tests here and there across all the platforms, but we'll get better. I think this platform is better. We've got feedback from, especially from our mommies and daddies who are not so tech savvy that the Zoom platform is a bit complicated and it keeps loading. They have to first join, then click join with audio. So, we are not as techy. Some of us are not as techy as others. So, unlike a Google Meet, that is just straightforward. So please bear with us. I'm very sure we'll get better as the weeks go by. Thank you very much. God bless you. And yes, we are starting a new Bible study manual. This is the new manual, even though we couldn't get so much copies. So apologies, members, that we didn't give you your copies, but we just got a few copies. So that's why we'll still get order for more. When there's a reprint and we get more copies for everybody. But I've sent a picture of it to the church WhatsApp group. So please just click on that and use that to follow us as we do this. And then I also want to make this announcement before we go ahead. Graysville clocked one yesterday. We thank God. In fact, I have to make a confession. I was telling my wife and Evangelist Jerry that I was thinking it was me. I don't know how. I didn't know that 1 year has passed this quickly. Thank you, Tola. I was thinking we started in May. I'm like, is it April? All my mind, we've been planning to celebrate it in May until Facebook just brought a reminder yesterday, almost towards the end of the day. And he showed us our first, our inaugural service last year. So apologies, we'll have made a bit of noise and at least appreciate God. But Easter Sunday, come Easter Sunday, for those of you in Abuja, we're going to be celebrating to the glory of God. And we're also using this week to be on the mission field at Kuchingoro IDP camp with some of our brethren. They have a missions ministry, Ark of Covenant Missions. So from tomorrow all through Easter till next week, we are in that IDP camp giving out the word of God, giving out gifts, clothes, shoes. So whatever it is that the Lord is laying on your hands, please, on your hearts, please reach out to us to give to these people. Like I told the church members on Sunday, apologies, I'm just doing this. I told the church members on Sunday that any cloth that you've not worn in the last 2 years, you're likely not going to wear the cloth again. So look through your wardrobe. Any cloth that you're sure you've not worn in the last 2 years, bring them to church. For those of us abroad, please send to the church account. If you can't bring clothes physically, please send us some cash. We need it. The guys are already on their way. They're almost in Abuja, and the Lord will bring them here safely in Jesus' name. Okay, so the very first lesson in this new outline talked about, the title is When the End Times Begin. When the End Times Begin. It's beautiful that we ended the last manual with the book of Revelation talking about the end times and signs of the end times, things that are going to happen at the end times, eschatology and a number of things. Now we are starting this with when the end times begin. This is a beautiful start, especially looking at what is going on in our day and time. We have quite a number of scriptures to read. Let's read the first three. I hope someone has opened that. Let's read the first three scriptures there in the text. Joel 2:28. Someone else, Matthew 24:1-8. And another person, Acts 2:16-17. So who is helping us to read Joel 2:28? It's a very popular scripture. Someone can even quote it offhand. Joel 2:28, who is there? Unmute yourself and help us read. Nobody is with Bible? On Google Meet? Yes, go ahead, sir. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. NIV says afterwards, but KJV, NKJV, some other version says in the last days. And it listed those things he would do in the last days. Please keep that at the back of your mind. We're coming back there. Matthew 24:1-8. Anybody? Matthew 24:1-8. Thank you very much. And lastly, Acts 2:16-17. Acts 2:16-17. So, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, was actually paraphrasing or referring back to what the prophet Joel said, and he was using what happened. That's Peter speaking, using what happened in the at Pentecost to confirm that. So the question now is, when did the end times begin? Or began, because the topic is when the end times begin. So from these things we've read, when can we say end times started? Anybody? At least on Google Meet, you are the only ones that can talk back. Those on Facebook, you can send your comments. I'll read it out. Or on Twitter Space, just send your comments. When, from all these things we've read, when can we say end times started? Beautiful. God bless you. So, yes. God bless you. End times actually started at Pentecost. I mean, this is beautiful. You know, it's a little bit stunning to get tactic. To now say, we are at the end times. So, yes, we are at the end times. You prepare for rapture, but sir, there's nothing new. I was telling someone a couple of weeks ago. There's nothing new under the earth, on the surface of the earth. There's nothing new that we are just seeing for the first time. That hey, it has never happened before. There's nothing new. Everything has, I mean, has happened before. Yes, we are closer to the end of age than before, but SARS and MERS, end time started from Pentecost. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And that promise got its fulfillment or started getting fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. So let's read some of our notes here. Introduction. As we look around the globe today and observe the turbulence and uncertainty that define every domain, the Christian spirit gets weary in thoughts, and there is a widespread belief that the end of the world is near. However, there are many unanswered questions regarding the end of the world and the indicators of the end time. That's Matthew 24:3. We've read it. Jesus mentioned the end of the age repeatedly in Matthew 13 and the certainty of it in Matthew 24, 33 to 35. Please help me read that because I need to also just clarify this because some people may be using it to win score cheap points. Matthew 24, 33 to 35. Just help me read that where Jesus said that this generation will not pass before all these things happened. So let's have a bit of exegesis on that. Anybody? Matthew 24, 33 to 35. Yeah. Okay, you're fluctuating. Can someone I think you are still on the way on the road. Can someone help who is in a bit of quiet place help us read 24, 33 to 35 of Matthew. Yeah, yes. Okay, now that generation, in quotes, has passed away, and that the thing is not yet fulfilled. How come? Oh yeah, jam lesson, jam question. Does anybody want to contribute? Jesus said this generation will not pass away until this happens. And if you're going to look at it literally, what he was saying, the generation was speaking to has passed away. Several generations after they have passed away, and end has still not come. You know, we need to be asking these difficult questions in church. If you don't, if not, our children, they are reading these things and they are not stupid. So, pastors, evangelists, theologians, oh yeah, let's go. Tola wants to say something. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, God bless you. Thank you very much. A little bit right, but let me still prove difficult like a typical Sorosoke generation person. What Jesus was talking about there is end like the rapture, end of age, that trumpet will sound. That's what he's talking about. That destruction will happen, all those things. If you read from 21, from verse 1 of chapter 24, everything that will happen. But let me see if maybe from verse 30, there shall appear the sun. Hey, good. Let's look at from 29 safe. Can anybody help me? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not pass, give her light, and the stars fall from heaven. That's verse 29. 30 says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the sign of the Son of Man in the clouds, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then his angels, and he shall send his angels with great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Then in our the parable, then verse 33, know that when these things happen, know that the end of is near. Then 34 says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until these things that he has just said be fulfilled. Oh yeah. Now let's go. I have theologians here. Let's go. What is he saying? What is he saying? But Tola is on the way, Tola is almost there. he captured a little part of it, but he's not talking about just end time of Pentecost. He's talking about the rapture. Look at what we read in a few verses before that place. Anybody, if a teenager or a Sorosuke person ask you this question, what will you say? You know, these are our children. If a teenager was as inquisitive as I was when I was a teenager, with all the internet information they have, only God knows the kind of person that can answer their questions. I thank God for the mentors I had. Pastor Femi Ali was one of the mentors that grew me in terms of biblical knowledge and spiritual prowess. And I asked him crazy questions. So if you meet a teenager like me and you open this place, your uncle read it. How come? How has it? That generation has passed. Oh yeah, let's talk. We have other things I'm going to throw at you. Anybody who wants to try? Is that Femi? Yes, please, go ahead. Yes. Good. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. And I think that does a bit of justice to it. What I would just like to add, thank you very much for reading that, is that the Greek word aeon actually means race or kind or age. So, which means human race, this race will not pass by without that happening. So, it wasn't talking about the generation of those people, James, John, that generation of them, like, because when we use the word generation, and that's something about English doesn't have too many words, so it uses the same word to mean several things that other languages can vary. So what he's saying is that the human race will not pass by. The human race will not be destroyed. So human race will be on earth when that thing happens. And then verse 34, am I right? I think it's 34 that now says, heaven and earth, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but none of his words will pass away. So it's to tell you that this whole earth will still be around. Yeah, 25, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So this whole human race will still be around when the end time happens. So when someone just quotes that and uses it to score a cheap point, just as apologetic, just quickly know how to defend that. God bless us in Jesus' name. So let's go ahead. Wow, maybe it's introduction we'll read today and just have a bit of other discussions and close. Meanwhile, the Greek word aeon is written here, means age, specifically the time of man's misrule that will end when Christ returns. It is sometimes rendered world. The disciples were asked about the time when Jesus will return to end humanity's age of destruction and begin God's kingdom or rule. The end times referred to the end of this present era. So the end times means end of this present era of human race, human rule. Last week, I gave you a summary of how the end time is going to be, from the rapture, what happens after the rapture, to the millennial reign. So the rapture just gives 7 years or 3.5 years, depending on your school of thought, for human race to wrap up their rule. It ends with the war of Armageddon. Once the battle of Armageddon is fought, the rule of Christ on earth starts. So the end of that race of human rule. So the end times refer to the end of the present era and the commencement of the new, of the next dispensation, the period preceding the second coming of the Son of Man. And last week we talked about the difference between rapture and second coming. Please get last week's teaching if you need more insights on that. This world must come to an end, for everything that has a beginning must have an end. Our Creator is the sole exception. In fact, it doesn't have a beginning, so it can't have an end. Psalm 90, verse 2. The present phase must end in order for eternity to begin. Please let's read Revelation 21, 1 to 3. Talked about how the new earth is going to be. It's not here. I think it's 20 that talked about the characteristics of the new earth. But here he's talking about the capital city of the new earth. Revelation 21, 1 to 3. Are we there? Okay, let me read from here if anybody is not. Revelation 21, 1 to 3. If you are there before me, please read. Yeah. Good. Okay, thank you very much. That verse 2 talking about, verse 1 talked about there is no more sea, one of the characteristics of the new earth, no more sea. Verse 2 talked about a new Jerusalem, ready made, descending from heaven. Let me go a little bit scientific here. I want to believe that the dimensions or the realities of that new earth and new heaven is not going to be 3D. It's going to be far much more than 3D. John could only express what is seen in a three-dimensional explanation. Our 3D world is something that has length, breadth, and width. We can see things in three dimensions. But someone that has a 3D mind, seeing something in 5D, for instance, or 10D, he cannot grasp it. He can just... you just interpret it in 3D. Let's go down to 2D, two dimensions. Imagine someone who sees the world as flat, only length and breadth. There's no thickness. So for instance, this is my Sunday school, this is my Bible study manual. The person is just going to see the length and the breadth. He won't see this thickness. So if I even do this, and instead of him to see the thickness the length and the breadth, he's only going to see flat, length and breadth alone. So if the person sees a truck passing by, he cannot see the other side of the truck. He'll just see like a rectangle, a moving rectangle. That's how the person will interpret a moving truck. He'll just see it as a moving rectangle. The same way we that in the 3D world, if we see something in five dimensions, in 10 dimensions, we're only going to bring it and narrow it down to our 3D world. I want to believe that the new heaven and the new earth, that city descending from heaven, is not in three dimensions. Although John told us it is four square, the height is the same as the breadth and the same as the width, he's only interpreting what is seen in three dimensions. That's my own school of thoughts. I stand to be corrected by our fathers if any has a correction. But yes, that city is prepared by God, descending from heaven. We are not going to be the ones to build it. A number of other things, other characteristics of that city, that will be like our headquarters where we'll be ruling from. God will be there. That city will also have several trees of life. We lost one tree of life at the Garden of Eden, but now we're going to have several trees of life. Now, that tree of life, the Bible says its leaf is for the healing of the nations. So we'll still be like nations in the new heaven and the new earth. But why do we need healing when, let's read that part, so that, because that could also be another apologetics topic. Someone will tell you that your heaven, JB, your Bible say in heaven there's no more pain, no more sickness. And then you're still saying in the New Jerusalem, something is there for the healing of the nations. Okay, let's go to verse 4. Let me just read from here. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things were passed away. You just said that there's no pain, there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no crying. Just gone. And he that sat on the throne, okay, let's go to verse 6, verse 7, okay, verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit, and the great high mountain showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem descending from heaven of God, having the glory of God in her, okay. Still describing the city. Still describing the city. I want to get to where he said if you can get to where he says the trees. Someone can help me read that. Okay. Okay, yes. It's 21. Revelation 21, verse 2. Okay, from verse 1. And the angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down to the center of the main street. On each side grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. And the leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. For medicine to heal. Let me check other translations. Verse 2. Yes. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So, why do we need healing? Anybody? Why do we need healing when God has wiped away every tear? Oh yeah. Anybody? Why is the tree of life and the leaves now for the healing of the nations? Shebi, God has wiped away every tears, and God has, there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow, there's no more weeping. It seems it's apologetics we are using today to take instead of the lesson itself. Let's go. Anybody? Okay, because of time, let me just say it. The Greek word, the original word is of that's why I said English has issues using the same word to mean several things. The word, the original word there means life-giving. The healing there in that context is life-giving, not necessarily death-removing or sickness-removing. So the leaves are to give life, not to remove sickness. Are to give health. Let me use that word. Health-giving. So what that means is that we're already in a state that we cannot fall sick. And we are now getting leaves and fruits that give life, keeps giving health. Not that is removing sickness. It is from the positive side. It's for health giving of the nation. So let's go ahead. Let's wrap up the introduction so that we can discuss a few things. This world is aging and deteriorating. I mean, if you're a scientist, you will know that. You'll admit to that. It would be replaced shortly. We, like the early church, find ourselves caught between realization and expectation. Yes, no one, not even the angels, will know the day or hour of Jesus' return. Yet, given the events of today, it is difficult to resist the conclusion that the end times have arrived. However, we must exercise caution to avoid being deceived. Because if you look at Matthew 24:4, after the disciple came to meet Jesus, that tell us, how shall these things be? When will this end time thing happen? The first thing Jesus said is that be careful so that no one deceives you. Jesus knows that it is possible, there's a possibility of deceit happening at the end time. Praise God. Oh, apologies, Twitter Spaces has stopped for those who joined us there. So let's go ahead. Please, if you know people that were on Twitter Space, my apologies. I don't know why it keeps stopping. Let's just have them join us on any of the other social media platforms. Okay, discussions. Okay, let me just paraphrase this and just say it, then maybe we'll discuss another point. Number one, compare Daniel 12:4, 8:26 to Revelations 22:10. In Daniel 12:4, God told Daniel around almost 600 BC, that's over 2,500 years ago, to shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. That's what God told him in 12:4, Daniel. While John was told to unseal the book, for the time is at hand. Revelations 22:10, John was specifically told, do not seal up this book. The time of the fulfillment is here. But God told Daniel, seal it up. Don't bother yourself, because Daniel himself said when he saw the finishing in the vision, he had stomachache for long. He was in a very bad mood. So, which means the end time started in the Bible days, in the days of the apostles, like we said. Number two, doesn't the fact that John was divinely instructed to unseal the book roughly 500 years after Daniel was directed to seal it imply that the end time began 2,000 or more years ago? So that's to tell you that there's nothing new under the earth, on the surface of the earth. The end time started almost over 2,000 years ago. And like some theologians will tell you, that is the church age. The age, if you look at, okay, maybe next week we'll look at the 70 weeks of Daniel, the vision of the 70 weeks. So you will see why there's a huge break between week 69 and week 70 Daniel saw. So don't let me preempt that. That's the church age, and that's one of the things that the devil didn't know about in terms of the calculation, God's calculation of the end time. Okay, the afterwards in Joel 2:28 is rendered in the last days and its fulfillment at Pentecost. If the Holy Spirit came as promised in the time he calls the last days. Then the end of times began as early as Pentecost, just as we've discussed. So let's look at the indicators of the coming of Christ's coming and the end of age. There are about how many did I write here? 13 indicators. So I'll just list them quickly. It is from verse 4, from Matthew 24, verses 4 to 14. So if you're reading, just write that down. You can read it on your own. But I'll indicate, I'll just write, just list out 13 indicators. We'll soon wrap up. Number one, false Messiah, that's in verse 5. And there are false Christs that have risen across the age. Number two, world violence, verse 6. Violence has always been repetition. Number three, natural disaster, verse 7, which is a norm. Severe religious persecutions, verse 9. It seems that the people that know the truth, especially in the Nigerian church, the people that are saying truth and standing on some particular points and truths, seem to be the ones that are persecuted. If you say what's popular or what the world in quotes would love to hear, they will hail you. But those of us who want to say what the Bible says, you seem to be the unpopular ones. You seem to be the ones that are persecuted. Persecution these days may not necessarily mean that they will cut off your neck, but they will drag you, they will cyberbully you, they will say all sorts of things about you. Terrible apostasy, that's number 6. Betrayal, 7. And division. So number 5, terrible apostasy. Number 6, betrayal. Number 7, division. That's in verse 10. What is apostasy? I've thought about this in one of the Bible studies. Apostasy is someone that once believed in Christ and then starts denying the works of Christ. That's and starts even making fun or making jest of sacred things. I've had a case like that someone that used to be very fervent in the Lord started making fun and making jest of sacred things. Apostasy is huge. Start making fun of the Holy Spirit. It's happening. And number 8, rising of many false leaders and offering false hopes. That's politics. That's average politician in this world. That's verse 11. Then number 9, a great falling away. Number 10, sin increasing. Number 10, number 11, love waxing cold. That's in verse 12. Those are in verse 12. And then number 12, some enduring and being saved. So among all the bad news, there's still one good news. Some will endure and still be saved. So it's not all bad. There's still a remnant that will do what is right. And then that's in verse 13. Number 13, world evangelism. That was said in verse 14. This is a definite yardstick to put an end to this present age, that the gospel will be preached to the whole world. Then the end shall come. Yes, let's just wrap up now. Do we have questions? We still have other points there, but please, you can just read them up in your own time. Because of time, I want us to close very soon, in the next couple of minutes, actually. Please, are there questions on Facebook or here on Google Meet? Any question? Okay, let's conclude. Let's go to the conclusion. There is ample evidence that we are already in the end times, the end of times. As a result, we must be vigilant, prepared, and expecting rapture. This encourages the practice of Christ's righteousness and doing good to others as God wishes and provides the opportunity to do so. God bless you. Thank you very much for tuning in today and joining us. Okay. Who can close the meeting for us? Tola, are you in a quiet place? Can you please close the meeting for us? Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much. Please let's have your feedback. Either you're listening to the podcast or you watch this. I think we'll get Google Meet right to the next class by the grace of God. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Bye. Good night. Thank you.